Let's all say amen. I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. Amen. Let me say good morning to everyone. I want to welcome you to worship this morning. Highland Heights Church of Christ. Those that are present here this morning, we're thankful for your presence. And then we're mindful for those that are and are sick and shut in, that are members of Highland Heights, that are not able to physically be with us. We want to thank you for your listening ear on this morning. And we want to say, mindful of our theme for 2024, serving more in 2024. All of us, those are here at Highland Heights, that's our theme for this year, that we're serving more in 2024. Amen?
Yes.
And I want to just say to the congregation, it was a year ago on this first Sunday of February that I accepted the responsibility as a pulpit minister here. So it's, if you were to say 1 year, anniversary of being in this congregation, I want to say, first of all, I want to thank God for the privilege and the opportunity to serve such a great congregation. You're not great based on your number. You're great based on your faithfulness to the Lord. And I want to thank this congregation for this, for that privilege. Thank God, first of all, for the privilege and opportunity. I want to thank each and every one of you, those that have been encouraging and supportive of me in this task. You know, when you sign up for something, you don't know what all you signed up for. Amen? Yeah, but I knew what I was signing up for, and I knew the task that I had here. And again, I want to put before the congregation, we are not fully organized as a congregation until we have those men serving as elders and those men serving as deacons. And I know what Paul told the Titus, to set things in order and to ordain elders in every city. I know what my responsibilities are, and I want to say my hope or my desire is that at some point we will be what God fully organized. Does that mean that we can't? Yeah, we can go to heaven. Amen. Yeah, we can go to heaven. But again, we want to be fully organized where we're fully functionable as the Lord would have it. We need those men. First of all, from Paul told Titus, Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, they got to have a desire. Amen? And then we need to have those men that have that desire. Those men need to be doing the work prior to them being selected as in those capacities. So again, I want to let the congregation know that I understand that, and that's my goal, to have those men that are sitting in these seats, those men that are faithful to the Lord, that are regular in their attendance here, that have that desire to serve. Amen? I'd just like to allow us to understand that whenever we come to worship, and I also put myself in a proper stand, that we're here to worship God. God is the audience. God is the audience, not us. And when the first assembled after the Lord's ascension, Luke penned to the congregation, there were five acts of worship. The Bible tells us, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is teaching, fellowship, that is giving back to the Lord as the Lord blessed us with. And then in the breaking of bread, that's communing with the Lord. Our hearts should go back to what Christ suffered on that cross for us. And that's why we take the bread, and the fruit of the vine represents his body and his blood that was shared. And we've had prayer on this morning. Then the Bible tells us in verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And so we praise God with the fruit of our lips. We do not use mechanical instruments. We praise God, according to Hebrews 13 and 15, by what God has given us with the fruit of our lips. We give praise to God.
Yes.
Yeah. The Bible said they had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So I want to say, you're here this morning, and you've not been added to the Lord. You're still in your sins. Yeah, and I shared that in my message this morning, what one must do. and ought to be added to the Lord. No one can, at that age of accountability, can have a hope to go into heaven unless you obey what God said to do. And so we hope this morning, if you hear, as I got the information on last week, praise God, we had 7 baptisms on last Sunday. Amen. Somebody, praise God that we're still preaching. The gospel is being preached. People are responding to that message. So we're teaching them what God's will is for them, and you allow them to be able to make an informed decision on whether they want to obey the Lord or not. Amen? Amen. So we're in our Philippian letter, and the theme of chapter 1 of Apostle Paul's letter to Philippians is, and we dealt with it the last time I mounted the pulpit, in verse number 21, Paul was letting them know that Christ is our life. Yeah, I got to be of the mindset to understand it's no longer about Horace Stroud anymore. It's about Christ. Paul said in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I have to understand, you have to understand, it's about Christ, people seeing more of Christ in me. Yes. Paul said that I might magnify a Christ in my body. In other words, the word magnify means to enlarge. Let people see more of Christ in us.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. So on this morning, I want to speak from the subject. Paul wrote, for I am in a strait betwixt two. Yeah. What is the meaning of being in a strait between two? How should the Christian deal with being caught between two choices? Let us find an answer from the scriptures this morning. We'll pick up in verse 21 where I just read, where Paul said, as he wrote to the Philippians, he said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ became a vocation to the Apostle Paul. What do you mean, Brother Stroud, by vocation? The word vocation means to have a strong desire to spend your life doing a certain kind of work. Paul said then that Christ became his vocation. You'll see it in the next verse. Yeah, so let me say this to all of us. Christianity must become my work if I plan to go to heaven. If I plan to go to heaven, Christianity must become my work. This demands we also become more acquainted with Christ and how to live as a Christian. Yeah, the Word of God is what teaches us how to live our life. Those things that we talked about previously, about how Paul told the Colossians how they were to mortify the deeds in their body. They were to put to death those things that we have in us that are forbidden by God and the Word of God. Those things have to die in us. Yeah, and that's for us to be pleasing to God. So Paul said here that I want to live. I want my life to be reflective of my relationship with Christ. Then he said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. Paul said in verse 22, but if I live in this body, Paul said, it is the fruit of my labor. In other words, Paul saying, the fruit of my labor is to preach the gospel. That's the fruit. That's my labor. So Paul had identified what his vocation was with the Lord. Paul said, I'm going to preach the word of God. He said, yet what I shall choose, I know not. Yeah. Christ needs to have rule in our lives through his word.
There you go.
Yeah. Paul said, I'm going to preach. As long as I live, Paul said, I'm going to preach. I'm going to do the work that God has called me to do it. Paul, understand, God, Jesus called Paul to do a certain work, to take the word of God to those that were Gentile. And then he said, well, I get my title for I'm in a strait between two. That's my title. I'm in a strait between two. What does that mean? The word strait in the text, by definition, means to have pressure from both sides. Yeah. Now, if I'm a child, we have children in here. Children, you should not be in a strait. No, you shouldn't. Because the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6 regarding children. Ephesians 6 and 1, if you want to turn there. Why shouldn't children be in a strait? Because they should not. Because the Lord said, Paul wrote to an Ephesian letter, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So as a child, you're a child here this morning, you should be obeying your parents. Yeah. Now, you don't have no strait. You just need to do what your parents ask you to do.
That's right.
Them in the Lord, for this is right. Here. Yeah. But now, I'm a young person, I'm a teenager. I could be in a strait. Yeah. I could be in a strait because I'm getting ready to graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I may have a job. And I like that job. Having my parents are telling me that I need to go to school. I need to get more education. So you may be in a strait. Yeah, I'm a high school. I'm in a strait. I like making this money, but my parents want me to go and get more education. What I find myself, you may be in a strait between the two. Yeah, I may be a young adult. I'm out there in the workforce. I got me a job. I've been there for a minute. And now another job come along. Yeah, and this job may be paying more money, but I have a job, and I've been there, and I'm building up. You ought to understand, you're building up retirement on that job. You should be, but I got another job offer. You might be in a strait. Yeah, I got this job. I've been there for a minute. But this other job, my friend introduced me to this other job, paying more money. You might be in a strait. I may be been in a job for a good number of years. And I'm thinking about retirement from that job. However, I still have some bills that I need to pay, but I'm ready to retire. I want to give it up. I'm ready to stay home.
There you go.
Yeah, I want to kill that chicken, that rooster, that waking me up in the morning.
Yes, sir.
I want to go out there and I want to put him in the pan.
There you go.
Yeah, I want to make him fried chicken. Yeah, I'm tired of him every morning. Yeah, waking me up. And I got to go get it. I want to retire. But I still have some stuff I need to take care of first. I'm in a strait. And then as the years pass, I got my retirement money. I'm looking at my Social Security money. And I'm wondering, do I want to draw all that? Now, can we make it? If I just hold off and don't take it yet, just Stay with what I got. I'm in a strait.
That's it.
Yeah, I got to make a decision. And then our seniors, go to the doctor. And doctor say, we want to put you on this medication. We need you to take this medication. I may not want to take medication. We need you, this is going on with you, and now we need to do some surgery. But I don't want nobody cutting on me. I don't want nobody opening me up. Maybe in the straight. So what are you saying, Brother Stroud? All of us, at some time, be in the straight. Because we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. And so we have an example of Paul. Paul was in a strait. He said between the two. And I want us to look from the word of God. More so my attitude and my mindset of how I'm going through this when I'm dealing with this strait. I got pressure on one side. I got pressure on for another side. And those pressures are pressuring me. Mm-hmm. Paul said, for I am in a strait between two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Uh-huh. Paul said, I have a desire to depart here means to die. The word means to unloose or to leave this life. Paul said, on one end, I have on one side, the pressure is I want to die. Why? So that I can be with Christ. Mm-hmm. He said, which is far better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To depart from the body or to die would release the apostle from the suffering, from the sickness, from the anxiety. Remember, as he wrote his letter, Paul was in jail. Yeah, he's suffering. Paul said, I have a desire to stop suffering. I have a desire to get rid of sickness. I have a desire to let go of all this anxiety I'm dealing with. I want to let it go and be with Christ, which is far better. That's one side. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said to remain in the flesh or to live. Paul said would be to continue. He said, as long as I'm living, I'm going to try to enlarge Christ or magnify Christ in my life. Paul also said, if I continue to live, I can lead precious souls into the church of Christ if I live. If I live, Paul said, I can give encouragement to other Christians if I live. If I live, I can prove further that his life of service was to Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm in a strait between two. Yeah. If I were to die, I could be with Christ. If I were to live, I can continue the fruit of my labor. I can continue to preach the gospel. I can continue to try to encourage other Christians. I can continue to let people see Christ in my life. That's why he said, nevertheless, to abide in this body is more needful for you. All of us need to have an attitude similar to Paul. Yeah. As Paul said, as long as I live, it's more helpful to you if I live. Then he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. This is how Paul dealt with that strait. It's a biblical example for us, foundational example. Paul said, and I have this, the word confidence here means, he said, I have this belief. I believe this. He said, I know that I'm going to live. And while I live, I'm going to continue with you. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, and it's all for your furtherance and the joy of faith. How do I deal with a strait? The word furtherance in the text means to move forward or to progress. Yeah, watch this now. As a Christian here at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, you should be experiencing the two things the Apostle Paul mentions in this verse. Notice now, Paul said two things, furtherance and the joy of faith. Paul said, while I'm in this strait, what I'm experiencing, what you should be experiencing, you should be progressing. You should be moving forward. If you are not moving forward as a Christian, there's a problem. All of us. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and challenges and issues, but we still should be moving forward spiritually. Paul also said, and the joy. Note he called it the joy of faith. Now, he was saying, I have joy because of the faith, because of the teachings of God. Paul was saying here, these two, my progressing and my joy in the faith are the teachings of faith. These are two important ingredients for the Christian. Why? For they keep one encouraged and motivated. When I come here on Sunday morning, I should understand that I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to progress in the word of God. Also, I'm going to have joy of the faith that I have in the word of God. Paul said, for that reason, we are, as Christians, I should be encouraged every Sunday, every Wednesday night. I'm encouraged. Not only that, I'm motivated.
Yeah, that's right.
So now I have to look at myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul said in the Corinthian letter, let a man examine himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask myself, you know, am I growing in the word of God? Mm-hmm. Am I growing spiritually? Remember, I said earlier that I should learn better how to handle myself as a Christian, how to deal with issues, how to deal with problems, how to deal when people do you wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That never should, a Christian should never be involved in no road rage.
No.
Never.
Never.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Should a Christian be on the negative side of road rage. Yeah. Also, as a Christian, when I'm somebody blow at me or do something, I should never do anything to try to provoke them.
There you go.
Yeah, you go, somebody blow behind you and blow behind you, you don't, you take low.
That's right.
Yeah. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And I want to carry myself as a Christian. People have to see Christ in me. Paul said that I should have this joy. Now, because Paul was saying in Philippians, you have your Bible in one. Notice what he said. I'm showing you how this adds to that. In Philippians 1:11, Paul said that you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be, no, verse 9, I'm sorry, because he made a prayer for them. He said, in this I pray, watch this now, that your love, Philippians 1:9, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Paul first said, I'm going to pray for you that your love may abound. And I've shared, I think the last couple of weeks, sharing about love is doing for others what is spiritually best for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, regardless of what it costs, whether they deserve it or not, that's spiritual love, biblical love. You do what's best for another person, whether they deserve it or not, no matter what it costs you. Jesus did what was spiritually best for all of us. It cost him his life. We didn't deserve it. So Paul said, I hope that your love as well as your knowledge may grow. And he said, then verse 11, he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We got to start doing that which is right for the Lord, living right, doing, treating people right. As I say to this congregation, there should be no one here that walks around with an ought against anybody. That's carnality. That's carnality. Walking around and I don't speak to somebody. I have an issue with somebody. No, my responsibility, and I want to repeat this clearly, my responsibility according to Matthew 18, 15, go to him and him alone. You have an issue with a person, go to that person. You in sin if you go to anybody else talking about it.
There you go.
And if you know somebody have an issue that you've done something to somebody else, Matthew 5, go to him and reconcile with that person. Mm-hmm. Settle the issue. We should have love in this congregation.
Amen.
With everybody. Because if you're not careful, people know when people ain't speaking to each other. Well, you know they don't talk. What you mean they don't talk? They both got mouths. What you mean they don't talk? Well, they don't speak to one another. What do you mean they don't speak to one another? You know, sometimes you walk by some people, you speak to them, and they act like they didn't hear you. Excuse me, bro. Did you? Good morning. Yeah, good morning. I'm going to give you another chance at this. Yeah, you know, I don't care for you. I don't care. Well, and I'm saying, and we say we walk around, we say we Christians. We say we Christians. Yeah, that's a behavior. That's not no, it comes with an attitude, but I got to express it properly.
That's right.
Yeah. Paul said that I'm going to, as long as I'm in this body, Paul said, I'm going to continue to progress. But I'm going to do it with joy. Mm-hmm. The joy comes from the word of God that I have. Then he said, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. The Paul told him, the word rejoicing here means boasting. When you boast about something. He said, and now, that your boasting may be more abundant. Mm-hmm. Now watch where the boasting comes in Jesus Christ for me. So Paul talked about us boasting. And I want to say to those that are here this morning, we got reason to boast. But our boasting is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. First, I can boast. 2 Timothy 2:10. Paul said to Timothy, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What I can boast about, I can boast this morning. If I have obeyed the Lord and I've been saved from my sins. And Paul, now, that saving is in Christ Jesus. He says now, not only right now, but he said it's with eternal glory. It's talking about going to heaven, being with the Lord. So I rejoice, I boast of the fact that if I've done, you're a Christian, you're a member of the Lord, and you're faithful. Now, if you're not faithful, you got another issue. Yeah. And I'm talking about faithful here at Highland Heights. Let me go on record as saying that. Some of us, we call ourselves faithful. If you are not, let me say this. If you are not regularly here at this congregation, you are not a faithful member. Let me say that. Some of us just show up. Sometimes we try to show out. But I'm interested in those that are active members here at Highland Heights. I'm regular to worship morning and afternoon if I'm able. In the afternoon, I know we have some seniors. Again, you always I want to always say your safety comes first. Mm. Yeah. But if you're able, you should be faithful here. Also, you should be involved in a ministry. You ain't just showing up. Are you involved? Have you signed up for a ministry? And are you active in that ministry? Mm. Yeah. If I signed up as a co-lead, am I active? Mm. I signed up. I want to be a co-lead. What are we doing? What are we helping those leaders with in those ministries? If I'm a co-servant, I should be serving. Why? Because I want to make heaven my home. Another reason I can boast. Paul said in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Understand this here. Only if you're in Christ are you able to receive those spiritual blessings. What do you mean by that, Brother Stuart? Turn your Bibles. You got your Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Let me let us see this Bible. You have material blessings and you have spiritual blessings. Yeah. Jesus identified both of them. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And the verse is number 45. Yeah. Jesus said this. That ye may be. Well, I start at verse 44 because that's what I was just talking about. He said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." I don't know if you experienced rain the other day, but just because you're a Christian, it just didn't rain on your house. Yeah. It rained on your neighbor's house also, whether they was in the Lord or not.
Right.
That's a material blessing. God bless everybody with the sun and the rain. God does. That's a material blessing. God don't just water your yard. Yeah.
That's right.
Everybody is blessed when God sends rain. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, God, the sun don't just shine on your house. He shines on those that are evil as well as good.
Right.
Yeah. That's the type of God we serve. That's the mindset we should have, that we do good to people whether they treat us right or not. That's the mindset. And then he said he sent rain on the just and the unjust. But then in verse number 6 in Matthew chapter 6, this is a spiritual blessing. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Only those that are Christians, children of God, can pray to God, and God hears our prayer. Yeah. Those people in the world, if you're not in Christ, that's a spiritual blessing that we have. We can go to the Father and make requests to God. God hears our prayer. If you're not in Christ, God does not hear your prayer. Where you find that in the Bible, Brother Stroud? In John chapter 9. And the verse is number 31. The blind man said this here. John 9:31. He said, Now we know that God heareth not sinners. And this sinners here is an alien sinner, because we all are sinners, but these are sinners that have not rendered obedience to the word of God. He said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worship of God and do his will, him he heareth. So we have to go from being a sinner, doing the will of God, obeying God, becoming a Christian. Now God hears us. Here. So those that are in the world, you're not a Christian. Our friends and our family members, if they are not Christians according to the Bible, God, the blind man, he said, now we know. This was common knowledge. God don't hear people that are not Christians. And sometimes we do a misjustice when we ask people that are not Christians to pray for me. That's not proper to do. Because you're asking to do something that you know God is not hearing them. Yeah. Now that doesn't mean we don't mean, Brother Stroud, I'm going to pray for you in this situation. I'll pray for you. Thank you.
That's it. That's all you.
But I don't ask people that are not Christians to pray for me, because God is not hearing their prayer.
Amen.
Based on the word of God.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
So not only we have spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:7, same letter. Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption here means deliverance. Notice what Paul said, from the guilt of sin. When a person obeys the Lord, if you've obeyed the Lord and come in contact with his blood by faith in water baptism, then God has forgiven you of every sin. Yeah, I can boast about the fact that those 20-some-odd years that I was living before I obeyed the Lord, all of those sins that I'd done, and I'd done numerous and I'd done many, Paul let the Ephesians know that when you were baptized, Horace Stroud, the blood of Jesus Christ forgave you of all those sins. I can boast or rejoice in Christ because of that. And then, Romans 8:1. Paul wrote to the Romans, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul said to those of Romans, I want you to know this here. There is no, the word condemnation means a sentence of punishment. Paul let them know there is no punishment for you which are in Christ. If you don't walk after the flesh, but you walk after the Spirit. Yeah. So Paul told him in Romans 8:14 that we are led by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit gave to men to write down there. That's what leads me. The Word of God leads me as a husband. The Word of God leads me as a father. The Word of God leads me as a Christian. That's how I am led by the Spirit. Yeah. I'm led. Romans 8 and verse 14. Paul said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Yeah, it's the word of God that leads me. Word of God that leads me. And so I understand here, there is no eternal punishment for me. Yeah, I don't have to worry about when I die, where I'm going, because Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Dying, there's only two ways to die. You can die in the Lord, or you can die in your sins. Two ways, two conditions to die in. Yeah, Revelation 14, 13, and Jesus said in John 8, 21, if you die in your sins, where I am, yeah. So we got to be in Christ, but not only be in Christ, Paul said, but I don't walk after the flesh, meaning I don't let my fleshly desires drive me what I do. I allow the word of God to lead me. Yeah. And all of us have work in that area. Amen? Amen. And then finally, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm getting to verse 19. He said, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, Paul said he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. What Paul was telling them, once you obey the gospel, once you become a Christian, God take that page. Yeah, Malachi talks about God has a book of remembrance. What God does then, he takes his godly eraser and he erases everything that you have done. Old things are passed away. You got a clean sheet of paper with the Lord once you obeyed the Lord. Paul said in verse 18, and he said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconcile means to restore to a proper relationship. What Paul was reminding the Corinthians, what God did, God reconciled us to himself, and it was done when Jesus Christ died on that cross for our sins. That's where it started. Yeah, Jesus did that. He allowed us to be reconciled to Christ, and now once we obey Christ, notice what this is. Now what we have, congregation here at Holland Heights, we have been given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's our responsibility to try to bring as many people to Christ as we can.
That's it.
That is a ministry.
Yes.
Yeah, we call it our soul-saving ministry. That's biblical.
Yes.
Has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Our responsibility, try to teach those people that we come in contact with to try to get them to do what we've done, to obey the Lord, to be reconciled with the Lord, to get baptized for the remission of their past sin, and now they can be part of this ministry. And then he said, to say that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So Paul let them know, we have a Holland Heights, the fact that I'm saved from my sins, the fact that I have spiritual blessings, The fact that all my sins have been washed away, and now that I'm a Christian, according to 1 John 1:7, now I confess my sin, and the blood of Christ cleanses me. The fact that I have that relationship with God, why I don't have joy? Why I don't progress? Why I'm not motivated and excited to come on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night? Why am I not? All of this God gave me.
Yes.
Paul said, we all have a reason to rejoice or to boast in Christ. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's
and sometimes when it looks like I'm in a strait between two, just think about how blessed you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how blessed you are to be in Christ. And Paul said, if I were to leave this earth, I know I'm going to be with the Lord, which is far better. Which is far better. And so what God did, as Paul in his Corinthian letter said, to say that God was in Christ. That's why you got to be in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that he can reconcile you to himself. And when you're in Christ, though the word trespasses mean when you go past what you're supposed to do, when you trespass. Yeah, you know, when people have some property and they say no trespassing. Well, all of us in our walk in the world, we have trespassed the word of God because we've all sinned.
Mm-hmm.
We've all trespassed, but we can get it right when we reconcile to God. If you're here this morning and you're not reconciled to God, you may be in a strait between two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you need to make a decision. And what Paul realized, whenever you're in a strait, you just stay with the word of God.
That's right.
That's how I deal with a strait. When I'm in a strait, just stay with God. Just keep progressing. Have the joy that comes from the word of God. That's how I progress. You here this morning. You cannot progress until, as Paul said, until you obey God.
Mm-hmm.
How to obey God? 5 things. That one must do to become a child of God. No one that is at the age of accountability is a child of God. Nobody is born a child of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus showed that to Nicodemus when he told him, you got to be born again.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you have to be born again. How am I born again, Brother Stroud? Thank you for the question. The first thing you must do, you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You must hear the 3 facts, that Jesus Christ died for my sins and your sins. Secondly, you have to believe that because it's in the scriptures. You believe what's written. Thirdly, you have to believe that not only Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the 3rd day, never to die again. You have to believe that. That's called the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Brother Scott, I heard that. I believe that. Now what must I do? You have to repent of your sins. What does that mean, Brother Scott? That means the life you've been living, you've been living opposite of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing, anytime you do what you want to do, you've been doing whatever you're big enough to do. But what I got to do now, I got to repent. That begins by me turning to Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Repent of those things that I've done. Yeah. And then I'll come up here this morning as we did, the multiple people did on last Sunday. You'll come before this congregation and you'll make the simple statement found in Acts 8:37. When the eunuch wanted to be baptized, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the statement you must make, because we follow the scriptures here. And then after making that statement, we'll prepare you to be water baptized for, as we just read, the forgiveness of all your past sins. What does that mean, Brother Stroud? That means that Jesus was buried in a tomb. You're buried in a liquid tomb. It's called water baptism.
That's right.
But when you're buried in that tomb, by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water, and it cleanses you of all your sins. And when you come up, out of that water, according to Romans 6 and 4, you now are newness of life. You are new creatures. We talked about just now. You're a new creature in Christ. Now you are a Christian. You're a child of God. And now you have an opportunity to go to heaven by obeying God. But it starts with you being obedient to God and doing what the will of God says. So if there's someone here that is not a Christian, not a child of God, in order for Jesus to become your elder brother, in order for you to become a child of God, you must come this morning, you must make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we'll baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sins. If you are subject to the invitation anyway, we bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.